What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Declarations of War podcast. Your host for this evening, myself, Alexei Card, the one and only Ninja Turtle.
Hello, everybody.
And our very special guest, former CSM representative, Major Jay Silva.
Hi.
First off, some shout-outs. I'm going to give a shout-out to everyone heading out to EVE Vegas this weekend. It is going to be an absolute blast. We're going to have the full after-action report for you guys on the next show. There's bound to be some legendary events going on this weekend, so we'll keep you abreast of all the developments.
I want to give a shout-out to Angry Mustache, who wrote an article for themitani.com on, and we're actually going to talk about it later, but he wrote an article on the conflict that arises around teams now in Krius and that whole industrial system. So we'll talk about it later, but it's a good read. You should go check it out. So, good article.
I just want to give a shout-out to Rick Javix for and everyone for pitching in and helping him buy my character off me. So it should be transferred to him tomorrow.
And I totally read that as buying my car. Okay, and of course our sponsor, EVE Timecode. EVETimecode.com, where your business counts. You get a free Plex for every $250 you spend, and they gladly accept Bitcoins. EVE Timecode is really, really active in supporting the EVE community, so give back to them a little bit. Buy your timecodes there. Get your Plex on. EVETimecode.com. All right, let's jump right into the poll discussion. We had the long-distance travel nerfs coming out, so the poll was, what was your read on these jump changes? We had a lot of response. Most of it positive. Say again?
I said, yeah, a lot of response. More than usual.
Yeah, more than, well, you know, I sort of expected that being such a hot-button issue. What I didn't expect is that only 11% of our audience feels that these jump changes cause more problems than they solve. Almost everybody thinks they're a good move. The majority think that there needs to be some tweaking, but, you know, 89% think this is a good way to go. I feel like our audience is pretty representative of the EVE community, at least the non-missioning parts of it. We've got some industrialists that listen to us. I just met one the other day. Shout out to that guy. I don't know if he wants me to throw out his name, because he might get blown up or have his stuff attacked, but there is an industrial guy that really, really loves our show. And, you know, I run into people like that every once in a while. People you wouldn't think listen to a podcast all about PvP and mercs and politics and stuff. But now these Empire guys, they want to know what's going on, some of them. And, I mean, I have to imagine that they're not part of that six, because as far as I know, the six votes that say it causes more problem than it solves, as far as I know, the Empire people are feeling pretty good about this, aside from the tinfoil hatters.
I think it's a decent idea in theory, but it still caused more problem than it solved. And this was pre-revision, too. They revised this pretty shortly after, well, maybe like a, or no, probably more like a week. But yeah, I wonder how people would vote now. Like, my mind is definitely, it's shifted more towards the positive now after the revisions. I think it still needs a little bit of tweaking, but it's not just so heavy-handed anymore.
I don't know how I feel about the lack of the heavy-handedness, because one appealing thing of the changes was that it was really going to shake everything up. Now, I don't know if that's quite as true. The cap for jumping is only going to be 30 days, which is not a terribly long time. And, well, EVE-wise, when you're talking like alliances deploying, they're not going to touch jump clones, which I guess we knew already. And then the massive, like, basically the pass that they're giving all hauling and zero-zero logistics. I don't think it's going to be quite as impactful, and I'm a little disappointed about that.
What about you, Silva? You were still on the CSM when this came up.
I was kind of just against the heavy-handedness when they first announced the changes. I haven't looked specifically at the tweaks, apart from I think they're changing JDC5 to 20%, and then the base jump range is increasing, so it's going to be a little over 5 for capitals, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they lightened up a little bit on that 5 light year cap, and they also took it a little bit easier on like jump raiders and black ops, and like Alex was saying, that 30-day cap on jump fatigue.
I wonder if when you sell a character now, you're going to have to include if it has jump fatigue or not.
I'm sure you will.
Bet you it does, yeah.
And that's part of the reason the jump cap got put in there, so you couldn't completely destroy a character with jump fatigue and try to pawn it off on somebody. But I think 30 days is a little too low. I would have liked to have seen 60 days.
I think if people are going to like fast transit capitals across Eve, they're gonna jump a certain way, they're going to transfer it over to an alt, and then they'll jump to the next system or whatever, exceed it, and then jump clone that their first character to wherever they're trying to go. It would be one way of reeling capitals pretty quickly.
Yeah, it could be. There's a lot of workarounds that are possible. CCP has been pretty clear in the messaging that they plan on nerfing any workaround to the limit that people find.
Well, how do you kind of work around that?
Well, there's an optimization to it. Like, after it drops, you know, it's only going to be a week before that optimization algorithm is in GARPA and it figures out, okay, you know, in terms of light years gate to gate and jump for jump, like, how can you maximize your light years and gates and, you know, minimize your number of jumps? And it's just going to be an algorithm that needs to be figured out. But that's just an optimization. I mean, it's not really a workaround. You're still bound by the system. You're just using it as efficiently as possible.
Exactly.
Which will be kind of cool. I mean, that'll be kind of like a cool new way, I guess, to like plan your jumps, but then the gate-to-gate part is just not like...
It could be pretty dangerous for people, depending on the situation.
Well,
I think the most interesting change is going to be the psychology part of it. How much this changes player calculus. Because, I mean, if players want to do something, they'll find a way. They'll move heaven and earth to get involved in a fight. I guess the real question is this going to provide the social change, the mentality switch for the player base to have more localized, smaller fights? Or is it just going to be seen as an obstacle to getting to the same content that we already have now?
I mean, it's honestly, like, the easiest workaround, it seems, for me when it comes to, like, Dreads and Carriers is just have more Dreads and Carriers, which we've seen time and time again in the past is, like, not a problem for bigger block. Like, pumping out the smaller end capitals like that. I mean, it's probably not going to be so feasible with, like, Supers and Titans, so that's probably still going to be an issue, but, I mean, it's like, there's no problem making Dreads and Carriers. They haven't nerfed that, really, at all. So, like, you're just going to have to spread your shit out a little bit more, have stuff staged to the point where, yeah, you may have to go 30 jumps in an interceptor, but that doesn't take that long. It's a hell of a lot quicker than 30 jumps in a capital. So just have your shit spread out, have more of it, and you can still have accessibility to those fights. So it seems a little counterintuitive to me, I guess, if that's the way it's going to play out.
Now there's going to be a lot more back-end kind of logistics preparation in the next few weeks coming over to the Phoebe changes, so if anyone's building a Dread Cache and they're trying to spread it out, they're rushing.
Yeah, you'll want to get that set up before the changes come in. Otherwise, it's going to take forever.
Yeah.
All right, moving into Eve news. As we mentioned, Eve Vegas going to be this weekend. I think the podcast will probably be released either... Well, I'm going to be gone, so it'll be released just before the event or right after it, unless Turtle fills up to it this weekend. You can do it without me, but I'm going to be partying my ass off for sure. And the good news about Eve Vegas is that it has sold out. We are full up in Eve Vegas, which is fantastic. I believe that's the first time that's ever happened. So the event has grown to its maximum capacity. Maximum nerd takeover in Las Vegas. Gonna be awesome. I'm going. We got Terminus from Noir is going. Also Delator from Noir is going. It should be a good time. I'm planning on bringing a few key items. Other objects of fun.
Six pack of Natty Ice. GameCube controller. Big black dildo.
Covered in axe. Just a whole backpack full of black dildos. But it should be a good time. I'm going to tell you guys all about it on the next show.
I would advise researching Nevada marriage and divorce laws before you do anything too crazy.
Oh, dude, if I marry a hooker, it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it looks like a fun time. If I wasn't going to FanFest, I'd definitely make that.
See, that's the reason I wanted to go to Vegas, because I couldn't go to FanFest, and yeah, I was sort of upset.
Yeah, it's turning into an event that's, like, as... not as big, but for the people on this side of the world, like, it's a good gathering point every year. It's nice for, like, regionally to have stuff like that and not expect everybody to fucking go out to Iceland every year. Like, that should be a thing CCP does, is, like, really try and work events regionally. I mean, that's something that Riot does really well to their advantage. It's like, if you really want to connect to your player...
Well, I mean, they're kind of doing that. There's a London event that's gotten pretty big. There's EVE Down Under, which is also coming up. And, of course, EVE Vegas. So I feel like they are spreading it out pretty well. I mean, I've been to FanFest. There is no substitute. It's like a space pilgrimage. Like, it'll reinvigorate your love for the game in a way that these smaller events just can't. And everybody knows it's the destination. But in my case, I had just switched jobs, and, like, there was just no way that I could possibly get the money together in time. But I did have the money to get together in time for EVE Vegas, so I was like, well, I want to go to one of them. So I gave EVE Vegas a try. And it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to meeting Deliter. I've been gaming with him and Noir for like 2 years now. So it'll be cool to hang out with him. I've never met him before, so I'm looking forward to that.
Honestly, one EVE event I'd love to go to is EVE Down Under, but it's so far away.
Yeah, I would like to go to EVE Down Under just because I've never been to Australia, so it'd like be a really perfect twofer to kind of just roll those into one.
Well, yeah, I would consider doing that someday. Like, it'd be a great excuse to go to Australia. Like,
it's more expensive than Iceland, though, is like the catcher to that. Like, if you think Iceland's expensive, yeah. Oh, yeah, the flight, too, holy...
Yeah, the flight alone is like $1,600 to
$2,000.
Of course, in my case, I'd probably stay for half a year or a year.
Oh, divide, I guess it'd be alright if you spend 6 months there.
Then divide the price of the ticket by 10, and that's the number of hours you're on the plane. Or no, 100, I guess.
Leave Down Under is coming up, and we've actually got a Noir member speaking there. I'm going to absolutely butcher his name, because it's really hard to say. Arcantantix Carpe Noctum. Fingers crossed I got that one half right.
Your name's too long, bro. Shorten
he's going to give a talk about Noir Academy. He's one of our Noir Academy graduates. He's going to talk about Noir Academy and talk about his experience with Noir. We're looking at ways we can help to sponsor the EVE Down Under event, because we actually have quite a few Australians in the corp now. So we're looking for ways to build on that and help get more involved in the Australian time zone community, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you should definitely hit up Bardi, and then he's the organizer of EVE Down Under.
Yeah, Ark's already talking to him.
Is he doing a 15-minute talk, or one of the big 45 minutes?
Pretty sure it's a 15. Unless it got upgraded.
I remember when Noir had an Australian corp.
Do you?
Yeah. Remember Cosmic,
So I usually try to forget this guy.
You remember it. You barely
I remember it, because every once in a while someone will link me that stupid PvP guide that guy keeps trying to sell for like $30.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you, that's right. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, Abaddon's still making business happen. $30 a piece.
You know, if anyone buys it from him, God bless.
Fucking chump.
I would not spend $3 to get Abaddon to teach me to do anything, but, you know. Oh, who am I to say? Who am I to say, you know? Alright, so we have another story here. CFC and Nelly Secunda have lost some Titans, but I think the real story here is that are Titan deaths even news anymore? And they're not, really. But maybe they could be again soon, depending how these jump changes come in.
They're probably not going to be as frequent, I'd have to imagine. Like, I think the number and scale...
The scale, yes, but frequency might... I'm not sure about that, because they're bringing the low-sec Doomsday back, which means there's at least some incentive to throw a Titan down in low-sec, which there isn't really now. So we might see a few more Asakai-ish type situations happening on purpose this time. And, you know, I think there are probably going to be some changes to Super Caps, not right away, but maybe in the patch after this, that give them more of an on-field combat role because they're hitting the jump ridge a little bit. But even still, Titans are just so common now. Even the smallest alliance has a few of them. I mean, shit, Nora's got like 3. Which is ridiculous, because we are so small.
You only have 3?
I know, right? I feel like we should have 5 at least. Minimum. I mean, really, you've got like the smallest low-sec alliance has like nearly 24-hour Titan coverage. It's crazy. I don't think they're news, and I don't see it really changing. I hope that, because demand for them might be a little bit less, but incentive to use them might be a little bit more in a combat role, that we may see their numbers, you know, trending downward, but I really don't have a lot of faith in it.
I don't think you'll see them, like, deployed in a large battle other than, hey, there's enemy Titans, let's go Doomsday that. I think the role will just extend to, oh, hey, there's a carrier outside of POS, let's drive by it and laugh as I go through as I warp around. I'm not sure if with, like, the low-sec Doomsday, will you be able to jump through a gate, or will you still be stuck in system?
Presumably after, like, your 60-second aggression timer, you'd be decent to jump through a gate.
I imagine the jump restriction's probably going to be the same, so if you can't jump to a Sino within a certain couple of minutes, you probably won't be able to go through a gate. But you'll still be able to go through a gate when it's done, because Titans can do that now.
So, if you're in low-sec, now's a good time to stock up on some heavy interdictors.
Yeah, I mean, like, low-sec entities will get a little bit of a buff to the stuff they already have there. Like, PL already being in Amamaki, they're already in low-sec. I don't see null-sec entities, like, being drawn to it at all, because traveling is going to be so costly still. And then the people that do have their stuff in low-sec, I don't think there's going to be much that warrants them, actually. Except for, like, the her-her low-sec Doomsday crowd.
Being formerly of the Legion, Silva, has there been any talk of whether Pandemic Legion might move from Amamake to somewhere else with the new jump range change?
To my memory, no. I doubt they would, because Amamake is, I believe, the most centralized system in EVE.
Right, but that, like, that benefit is going to be gone. Like, being centralized now is actually could be more of a hindrance than a help to getting fights. Like, once the changes possible. Happen.
Maybe the PL's not committed to anything, so I think they're just going to stick to Amamaki. Besides, when you lived in a place for 5, 6, 7 years, you just accumulate so much stuff that moving would make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true.
Very much a spiritual home.
Not very like packers either. I remember filling up my carrier, a super, and like even half a Titan when I move sometimes, so.
Pandemic Legion is kind of on the move. The word is that they're supporting a CVA Sov attack against Hero in Ketch. That just kind of happened. There's a dead station, or at least the infant station, station abortion, however you want to think about it. And there's also been at least some SBUing. But it looks like, I mean, what's your read on this, Turtle? Because you were sort of, I don't know if you were involved personally, but it was Waffles, was a big part of this. Is Pandemic Legion just hitting both sides? Are they actually coming down for CVA? Like, what's the story here?
I wasn't on that fleet, but I could tell you that I don't think there's any play for actual Sov here. I think they just saw an opportunity and went for it. There's nothing. if there is something deeper than that, it's not publicized to anybody, so I wouldn't know. But history being history, I have a feeling that it was just for the good fights and not for an actual play itself. There'd be really honestly no point in us, Waffles, or PL, I think, taking Sob over there. It's just, it's not like a good location to what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I don't think they would have any plans taking the Sob for themselves, but is there some kind of deal with CVA to weaken Hero and put the stations in a vulnerable state so that CVA can take them over?
If there is, they're playing it pretty cool because we haven't had any sort of like deployment orders or any sort of anything outside of just that one op. It was like a max dude op, and people knew it was coming up. So honestly, I think it was probably just more of a spy fed intel situation and an opportunity taken. So.
All right. So just another string of more third partying happening in Providence.
Yeah, with a little extra bonus because you don't see station upgrades go down very often. You know, they don't really produce males. I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they don't. Well, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. The Providence fighting has continued on both fronts, GE-dash and actual, the border with Providence. There hasn't been much movement, and I think that's largely due to all the third partying. People are pretty comfortable with the status quo being what it is, I think. And as soon as, you know, one side gets a little too strong and looks like it might steamroll the other side, you're probably going to have Nully, PL, etc. come down on the side that needs a bit of a hand, just to even things out. Again, this is something that might change with the Phoebe release, as third partying and the way that Pandemic Legion and Nelly Secunda are doing is a lot dicier if you're gonna be penalized not being able to jump places for a while.
I think you're gonna see your third parties shift more to subcaps, which probably isn't a bad thing, to be honest. The frequency, I think, will decrease a little bit overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't get places in the time you need to get places.
And again, that unknown psychological variable, will people start to find fights closer to home and have less interest in third party? Fingers crossed, because I think that's what everybody's hoping for, really.
Yeah, I don't really get the whole, like, more fights close to home thing, because, I mean, hopefully, like, in the end, that's what's going to happen, like, with a NullSec rework and stuff like that, and something that actually puts people in proximity, but, I mean, people have to go places because the fights aren't close to them. It's not because they can jump so far. I mean, the only reason they're getting fights now is because they can jump so far. If people would rather not move than move. Like, it's not that people love jumping their cap across the system, it's just, or across the galaxy, there's no fights nearby, so. I don't know. I feel like this all hinges so much on their next two phases that it's just like so hard to read. So hard to read right now what's going to happen, because I just don't see what's going to put people in proximity that this close fights thing is going to happen.
Well, do you think the kind of like the number of roaming around low sec and null sec is going to increase at all?
I mean, maybe because you can't do the shit you usually did, which was sit on a Titan or Black Ops drops or, you know, hop in your carrier and just go drop on people all willy-nilly without a care. Like, you're not going to be able to do that stuff anymore, right? So what do you have left? You have subcaps, you know, roaming around in that. And so, yeah, I think people are going to probably roam a little bit more just because they don't have many other options as to what they can do. Or their options
are... I mean, if 0-0 guys go out there in small roaming fleets, there are going to be NPC 0-0 and non-SOV holders and low-sec guys that are going to roam out to go fight them. Like, that will happen. But sort of the issue is now is the sitting on the Titan thing or sitting on the jump bridge thing. And they just mass and mass and mass, and then they'll bridge on top of you. There's none of this gate traffic that leads for more organic interaction.
I don't know. I feel like people might turtle up a little bit. It's not going to be
They could.
It's not going to be any easier to take people SOV before the entire rework is done, all three phases or whatever the fuck they're playing. Like, it's not going to be any easier to take people SOV. Well, I guess it is, because they're nerfing the hit points of some of those SOV structures, but...
And they're going to move away from structures. yeah. altogether. At least that's.
But in the immediate, meantime, you know, if we get those jump changes, you know, 3 months, 4 months before, you know, we get any sort of other nullsec changes that are substantial and change the way people play the game, like. There's going to be incentives to go out and roam and stuff like that, but it's going to make Nullsec even more static than it is now, because you're just going to turtle up. Why are you going to take your defensive fleet out and risk getting them stuck somewhere for a week and not being able to bring them back? You know, like, that kind of decision-making. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And in our final piece, the research race is on. Not too much details about this. It's a dev blog from CCP Fozzy announcing that there's going to be a research race. In-game, it's all about the Sanctuary Corp, aka Sisters of Eve, looking for information about the sleeper drones, which are the NPCs in Wormhole Space. And of course, the Capsuleers have to help. In practice, you're donating neural network analyzers and sleeper data libraries to these four specific agents, depending on which faction you're working for. And there's going to be some kind of not even defined technology that's going to be released. And the language around it is a little strange. Basically, there's going to be some kind of new tech, which will probably be some kind of new item or a new ship, I assume.
Stargates, maybe.
Could be Stargates, it could be implants, it could really be anything. And it's going to get released to the factions in a specific order. So if the Fed Navy has the most donations from players, they're going to get access to this first. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out. Maybe LP stores or something like that? I don't know how you would limit release of some kind of in-game item or capability specifically to a faction, unless you can only use it if you're in that particular faction warfare, but that doesn't seem likely because it's a Wormhole Space event. It's weird.
Yeah, I think that's like the bigger takeaway here is that it's a event designed to drive people into Wormhole Space, which is, I think, CCP maybe kind of re-advertising the fact that it's there, trying to maybe push some players in there now with the new changes and stuff. Like, that's the takeaway here. The timing of it at all doesn't seem random to me at all, because it's like a wormhole-specific event, kind of.
You're referring to the population drop in Wormhole Space?
Well, no. More specifically, the revamp changes, and then, you know, kind of re-advertising the space after those changes and being like, hey, look at this. This is what's up with Wormhole Space now. Go check it out. If you haven't been there in a while, go rat. We got this thing going on, so it's a reason to go into Wormhole Space. Like, it's a billboard, you know, in a good way, not in a trying to say in a demeaning way, but like the timing of it at all doesn't seem very, very odd to me. It's good advertising. I mean, it's kind of cool.
It could be cool. I'm not as interested in the event as I am interested in this technology they're talking about. Well, it sounds mysterious and interesting. Who knows what it could be?
Well, it's kind of sexy in a way. Put it in your hand. And yeah, I don't know. Once I reread that and falling into the hands of players, it made me kind of think not Stargates, but what's up with that Stargate thing, bro?
Well, it could be Stargates. My thing would be, I get the impression that Stargates are still a ways off in the roadmap. So if they're having this event now, I think it's unlikely to be that.
That's a good point. Yeah, that was kind of the end game of everything, wasn't it?
Well, I guess the new kind of Tech 3. Yeah. Tech 3 Frigate, Tech 3 Industrial. There have been a lot of ideas around that being put out.
What do you think, Silva?
Any theories?
I could say a few theories, but yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Silva, we have him on here because, well, I've known him for forever. Silva and I met back when Noir was in its absolute infancy, like the first 2 or 3 months, I think, that it was ever around. And we just kept in touch over the years. And then, you know, I was quite pleased to see him running for CSM. I supported him, absolutely. And I think he did a pretty good job as far as I know. But, you know, obviously we have you on the show. A lot of stuff happened. Like, literally the day after I asked you on the show, you announced your resignation. So I think that's probably what everyone wants to hear about. But why don't you talk a little bit about your Eve story, how you got where you were in Pandemic Legion, and then maybe we'll transition that into all the CSM stuff.
Oh, well, it's certainly a long history, going back about 4 years, but I started playing Eve just as like kind of like a side thing. I was in an Arma 2 clan, and I just happened to jump into a channel on Mumble, and I asked what they were playing, and they're like, "No, I'm not playing Arma 2, we're just trying out this MMO called Eve." And being the, I guess I was 16 then? Yeah, being the 16-year-old I was then, I figured, I'm not going to go play an MMO, you know, like that sucks your life away and blah, blah, blah. So I figured, hey, what the hell, give it a try. About a month into playing the game, I got hooked. Everyone I was playing with kind of stopped playing it, so I decided if I'm going to keep playing this game, it's time to move on. So I stepped away from playing FPSs and just kind of started going into Eve. Well, I think the first corp I joined was Moira. They'd run by Juliana Soder and started like in low sec. Switched over to Faction Warfare, did that for a bit, and then I jumped into Null Sec when I was maybe 6 months old with Majest Empire, stayed a week, hated it, went back to Faction Warfare, ended up going back and joining Morsus Mihi, and kind of sticking around for that, and then literally as I was joining Morsus, the NC was falling apart, the CFC and all that was on its back heel when the infamous VFK siege happened. Morsus, yeah, this is all kind of boring, but Morsus ends up going back to Delve, Thunderdome. I'm sure some people remember that. Morsus falls apart, and I decide probably now is a good time to go try something else. There was a guy I was in contact with for a long time, and he ended up getting me into a corp called Total Mayhem in Northern Coalition. Of course, jumping over from MM to NC Dot, Spy, constantly for about the first month, but I started to kind of hang around there, did a lot of fun stuff there. Fast forward a couple months, Total Mayhem not too active anymore. The corp, I think, was kind of like downsizing on its way out. Then I contact some old vouchers from some friends I knew just along the years. Ended up getting into Northeastern SWAT.
One of the main corps of Pandemic Legion.
Yeah, one of the main kind of the original corps of Pandemic Legion. I think that was just right when like the HBC was starting to slow down. The catch campaign against AAA was in its kind of final days. So I stayed around with Peel for that. Went up about 6 months in, I switched over to Habit, because Habit number one. Then it's just conquering, after that was just conquering the drones. Then the infamous Revenant event.
That were you personally involved in that one?
Yes, I lost a Nyx in that one.
Well, at least he didn't die alone.
True. Yeah, that's certainly something I'll remember forever. Then, you know, I took over bot I started helping out with the bot, and then eventually Ferris only got tired and I helped take over the management of it. Saw that over for a year, kind of just stayed with that.
What started your CSM run? Like what made you decide to go for it?
Initially, the idea loomed around. I thought in my head, oh, I should run for CSM, blah, blah, blah. Just kind of more as a joke and nothing too serious. And then I actually started to seriously consider it. At the time, Manny, though, was supposed to be the original kind of ticket to be on the CSM. And, of course, Gursky was there. So it's just some, like, I'm like, oh, I have no chance of running. And I talked with Manny, I remember, saying, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, you can run. It's not going to be any big deal. So I start talking with, like, DNS Black, A few other people who are like trying to make bids and see if I can get on some point of someone's ballot just to get on. And unexpectedly last minute, once the passport scans were kind of coming in and all that, Manny says his passport's not in and I'm number one on the ticket. So by virtue of that, I get elected and just kind of did what I could for 6 months. Summer ends up coming, work a lot, kind of fall out with it, September. And now here's where we are today. That's pretty much my story.
So if you can talk about it, what led to your decision to resign?
Well, there's been some there's been some crazy theories out there. Mostly it's just personal. Just wanna be done with Eve. My interest has kind of been waning in the last kind of parts. And I guess I felt this was like a good time to kind of step away.
So you're planning on leaving Eve entirely?
Yeah. If you haven't been kind of keeping up on the forums, like last week or so, I've put up my character for sale. It's going to be sold to Rix Javix for a fair price of ISK for what the character's worth. I've certainly gotten larger offers, but figured Rix would probably be the best band for the job.
Now, I read in the comments section of some news sites you plan on then RMTing that ISK. you determine what you're going to sell it all for.
I'm trying to get a villa in Spain. I don't think 50 bill will cover it, though.
Well, you never know. It's all about location. Shop around.
I'm sure I could start like an actual Kickstarter for it, but the kickback will be you get to stay 1 week in my villa.
So, I mean, here's, I guess, the obvious question. If you're planning on leaving Eve forever, you know, why bother asking for so much money for your character?
Just fair summation of value, really, that's it.
Yeah, what are you going to do with that ISK now? Is it just going to, like, sit in your accounts and mothball, or?
Pretty much. In case maybe, like, the one day I ever do want to come back, I can go buy a new character for, like, I've got enough saved up, I could probably buy any character I want. Though, saying in a couple years, most characters will probably be far more worth than the amount of ISK I have.
Well, I'm just throwing this idea out there. You could give it to me.
I don't know. It won't just... most of it won't sit idle. I'll probably loan it out to some friends who kind of want to get started. I've been talking with one buddy who's, oddly enough, wanting to get into Capital Production. Post Phoebe, I don't know why, but I guess maybe they see something I don't.
I've heard there might be a short spike from people that are looking to build those capital ship caches. People, like, they need like 4 dreadnoughts or 5 dreadnoughts to cover all the different places they're planning on putting a jump clone. So obviously it's going to spike for that, at least in the short term.
Yeah, but invest, you know, how long it takes to buy BPOs and set up a POS and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it might be a bit too late to catch everything.
Can't really understand their reasoning, but I'm just going to support them what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they do know something we don't. But personally, I'm not much of a market guy, so I don't know. But it would seem to me there's going to be a short-term spike as people build up these stockpiles and move them all around. And then the price is probably going to drop because there's all these extra ships that have already been made. And yeah, it's probably going to sit there for a while, I would guess.
Well, I know, like, when I was after B-R, when all the Titans kind of died off, there was a huge push for CSAs and building up Titans. And now there's so many bloody Titans on the market that the once the orders all got refilled.
I think the only possible chance is that there's a theory that the limitations on being hot dropped will make it less likely, and thus people will be using caps more in smaller amounts. So there might be more capitals destroyed in total. They're just not as destroyed like all in these major fights, but there'll be like corpses using 3 or 4 dreadnoughts to take down posses now, thinking they're not going to get dropped as often as they would be under the old rules.
Yeah, I wonder if cap fights will become a thing more in the faction warfare scheme of things.
With the jump cap at 30 days, I'm not quite so sure. We'll see.
I feel like it, like, maybe not so much in Amar and Minbitar, just because they're so close to where the PL super fleet is staged. Maybe more in Kaldari and Galente, but I'm pretty sure the Sync Liaison, Placid region's full of lots of pirates with capitals, so I think you're going to see a lot of capital activity there, for sure.
Yeah, I would think so. Syndicate area, probably going to be very heavy.
It's certainly still going to be at its place, so I thought I'd, if I can use my ISK to do a bit of e-venture capitalism, I don't know.
Well, good for you, bro. I'll ask you another question during the CSM corner we're talking about toward the end of the show.
Fair enough.
Turtle just made me aware there have been more details posted by CCP Fozzy. At E-Vegas, they're going to talk about what the technology is and in what order it's going to be released. And they've also released that nearly 3 million... that's not right. Or rather, it's not very important. Total points, some kind of point system they were using. But the real thing to know is almost 150 billion ISK has been donated in this event. It's a nice little sink.
So you have a reason to watch the Twitch stream on Saturday.
Yep, yeah. I'm very curious. I hope that this tech thing isn't a letdown. It'd be such a disappointment with all the hype that they're putting on the event. So whatever it is, better be cool, Fozzy. I'll be watching you and judging you very sternly. Alright, moving on.
I judge Fozzy all the time.
What else would you do?
Because he's a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he likes the Frenchies.
Alright, contract wrap-up. We are still in the Cloud Ring contract that is ongoing. As usual, we don't really discuss contracts too much as they're ongoing, but I do want to give you guys a quick numbers update. The Alliance is sitting at 186 kills, 12.26 bill in damage, with 2.24 bill received, efficiency 84.54. NOR itself has participated in over 10 billion of that. With about half the losses that we have. A little bit more value on the losses because we lost some big stuff, but whatevs. Total efficiency for NOR Corp, 86.96. And we're still going to be here for about another 2 weeks, so we will keep you updated. This week in Mercs...
What's the cost to build out NOR right now?
Say again?
Sorry, what's the cost to build out NOR?
It varies a little bit. We're still working on pricing with the new alliance that we're in. You can expect at least 3 bill a week. Probably more as we improve our capabilities and coordination, that sort of thing. I'm looking at our pricing scheme, especially in light of Phoebe. There's been talk of maybe doing longer deployments. Just because it's going to be so difficult to move, we're not going to be able to do the like lightning fast 24 to 48 hour relocations that we used to be able to do. So if we're going to take a couple days to move, you don't want to be there just for a week and then have another couple days to move. So we're still figuring out exactly what Phoebe is going to mean for us and how that might affect customer pricing. But once we do figure that out, you can be sure that I'm going to update people via the podcast.
I think you should tell your members to invest in, like, an Orca alt.
Yeah, taking Orcas through Hostile 00 is not really the most feasible option. Only really works for Empire. Alright, this week in Mercs, Break-A-Wish was hired for an industrial sabotage contract with a very interesting story and happened to get featured on Mitanni.com. This is what Turtle was referencing earlier. Turtle, take it away.
Some quick napkin math estimated that some 25 to 60 billion ISK was in build in this pos that got blown up. So the backstory of it is it's kind of like a backwater high-sec system. And with the new changes in Krius, you have these teams, right? And so you can bid on these teams. And it's turning out that some teams are much, much, much more valuable than others just based on what it's profitable to actually build. So getting these teams to where you are is, like, a huge thing. And so I'm not going to Well, actually, no, this is kind of cool. I'll read this. So 25 to 60 billion ISK, somewhere in there. It's hard to really tell, estimate the value of research jobs. But so the nail on the coffin came when Aerith discovered that an alt heavily related to A Fine Line, which is a corp, had issued a bond on Evo for 22 billion ISK, neatly meshing with the value of the PAWS. So long story short, this person publicly financed this research PAWS, manufacturing PAWS, rather.
And for those who don't recognize the name, Aerith is like a major player in Goonswarm's industrial
game. Yeah. So, for the task of killing this tower, Aerith hired Break-A-Wish Foundation, as you all, I'm sure, know. Break-A-Wish declared war on A Fine Line, put the tower into reinforced with no response. So desperate, the PAWS owner opened up the war deck for anyone to ally with, and an alt corp of the Last Chancers, which you'd recognize if you pay attention to wormhole groups at all, they hopped on the war deck. So when the PAWS exited reinforced, Break-A-Wish was able to drive Last Chancers into the PAWS after several skirmishes, and at the same time narrowly dodging an RVB gang, which would have killed the Logi for Break-A-Wish because they're suspect, if you have ever seen that work. So after the fight, the PAWS owner attempted to ransom his PAWS, but Break-A-Wish refused it, and as well as a suggestion from Aerith to scam the PAWS owner out of his ransom ISK. So,
which I congratulate them all.
Yeah, props to Break-A-Wish for staying neutral on that one. And shame on you, Aerith. It's just bad sport. Bad sport. So after the skirmishing was over, Break-A-Wish reshipped into Navy Ravens to finish off the tower. But in the lull of the fighting, the PAWS owner was able to cancel all his jobs and destroy the contents of all the labs and assembly arrays. So it would reduce the kill mail, and it also wipes out all the loot. So, but
still,
this is,
though, there's no getting that ISK back.
Yeah, oh, for sure. It's still a loss. And, I mean, you don't walk away better, I get from that, I guess, feeling any better having destroyed your own shit. But, like, it's cool to see this kind of conflict arise, like this industrial kind of base conflict now. And there's reasons to fight in HiSec, and there's reasons to go after these big-ass pauses that you before never in a million years would bother going after.
And now there's more tools to, like, identify your competitors. Like, Aerith used the map to determine where the team went, and he saw it, like, it was this one backorder system that had no stations and really only this one production pass, and he was able to find the forum post where they were asking for the public financing, put two and two together, and was like, uh-oh, you're about to get fucked, boy.
Yeah, the forum financing. I was reading that a little bit ago. I mean, it had Ponzi scheme written all over it, and it wasn't, but it also still cost everybody money. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the guy had cash reserves to pay back all those bonds or whatever, but...
Yeah, and Eve, I'm gonna doubt it. Although you never know. If you were personally involved in that and you want to let us know how the fallout, I guess, went with the investors, feel free to let us know. We'll happily talk about it again on the show. But I think that is really cool and a really great use for mercenaries. Big props to Break-A-Wish for successfully executing such a valuable contract. And yeah, I've long recommended Break-A-Wish, one of the better mercenary units, them in Pursuit of Happiness. Very decent HiSec mercs. All right, our sponsor, EveBet, eve-bet.com, New Eden's premier betting service. Not just Eve stuff, also real-life sports, all with ISK. They've handled trillions in bets since opening, so you can definitely trust them. You can bet on things like the Alliance Tournament, you can bet on esports, you can bet on the NFL, anything you want. Just throw your ISK in there with industry-standard odds, so you know you're getting a fair shake. And they've also got stuff like blackjack and slots. So check them out. There's more stuff you can bet on every week. It's eve-bet.com. All right. CSM Corner. I was hoping we'd have Allie here, but we'll have to do with Silva by himself. Well, how do you look back at your time? Like, what's your evaluation of how the CSM is doing so far now that you've got a foot out the door?
CSM, like, as a whole, like... Just one thing, like, a lot of people say the CSM is not, I don't know how to word it. You know, like, people, you were on the CSM, like, 8, I believe, Alec?
4 and 7.
Oh, wow. But you get to where, you understand, like, with an NDA, you can get a better appreciation for everything that like past CFSims have done, and you understand that it is kind of a vital part of what CCP is doing, right?
Yep, and you're welcome. All right. For all the stuff that we did for you.
I didn't look back that far.
Oh, ouch.
I think I looked back to what like CSM8 did. That's about it. Maybe a bit of 7.
So how do you feel like CSM9 is stacking up?
They work pretty damn hard, so those minutes are gonna be out when they say they are gonna be out.
Yeah, if they put the minutes out, I'll be extremely impressed. Because it was a big deal for CSM8 to be like, they kept criticizing CSM7 for not putting out the final version of the minutes for so long. They're like, oh, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it in like a month. And then it wound up being the longest wait for minutes ever. It was kind of nice to see that CSM9 is sort of actually going through with it.
Well, it is a two-step process, so.
Yeah, but that's true for every CSM. And CSM7 was like, guys, you don't understand. Gotta wait for CCP to do their thing. Like, no, we can do it in a month. No, you can't. At least you couldn't then. But it sounds like the new CSM rep is, not CSM rep, the CSM liaison for CCP, CCP Lilu, has really got her stuff together. I mean, you've worked with her, you probably know, but I'm just informing the audience. Sounds like she's got her stuff together, and I've also heard there are lots of process changes involved that are making everything go much more smoothly this time around.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably long overdue, to be honest.
Don't anger Lilu.
That's your number one takeaway.
Yeah, never anger Lilu. I never did it, but just don't anger Lilu.
And how do you feel about the whole Xandrafina swapping over from Zebra Corp to PL and Gorski Carr getting promoted in your place?
For Xander switching from CFC to PL, I believe it was mostly personal reasons with his corp. Kind of sucked that it happened that way, but I wish him all the best of luck in PL. I think he'll like it. He'll certainly have a bit of adapting to do to the kind of like PL culture. There's a bit of a shock there, but if you want to integrate, you'll get used to it pretty damn quick.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing.
Culture. Anyway, even Waffles know. Waffles get it a lot worse, though.
Well, that's like the whole point of Waffles, though, is like the culture integration. It's probably like the biggest benefit to it. I mean, the cultures are very similar.
And it's a lot more weeding out of people.
Yeah, I can definitely back up those two points with NAR Academy. It's extremely valuable to have a group like that. Especially for Pandemic Legion, which has a fairly unique culture.
Yeah, ease into it.
Mm-hmm. Alright, we've got a couple of dev blogs that came out. I don't know how much perspective Silva is going to be free to give us on this, but you know, any insights that you do have, bring it on. The number one thing, the thing I'm most excited about, is the sensor overlay is getting a touch-up. Featuring, but not limited to, bookmarks in space. Hooray! This has been like, oh my god, I've been asking for this for forever.
Yeah, it's actually pretty awesome. I was on CC doing one of the Titan tests, I think, on Tuesday or on Monday. And I kind of saw the new things that they were putting in. It was pretty amazing.
Like on bookmarks in the HUD, you mean?
Yeah, like, you know how you see cosmic anomalies right now with the scanner on?
Oh, yeah, the scanner, right.
You'll be able to see your bookmarks, so you can, like, align to them by double-clicking in that direction, right-click, warp to them in space.
Yeah, and you'll be like, the same applies with your, you know, your safe spots between your planets or your deep safes.
Anything to reduce that right-click context menu system.
Mm-hmm.
Or actual flying with a spaceship.
I don't have so much a problem with the right click. My issue is the sheer nesting. And for bookmarks, it's extremely problematic because like if you have 3 or 4 bookmarks, it can be difficult to tell where you need to be aligning to them, and like to get to the actual align to bookmark thing, it's like 3 or 4 menus deep. So that's a huge pain, especially in a combat situation where you want to, you know, you want to be able to switch aligns quickly, and if things go bad, you want to be able to warp quickly. So to be able to right-click to the place you're aligning and warp, like, for instance, you'd be able to do with any kind of asteroid belt or planet, to do that for a bookmark would be fantastic. It's going to be great because it's also corporate bookmarks are going to be treated the same way. So that's going to be awesome for wormhole people.
That's one of those little things. That's Kakura's team, right?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it's the blog is by CCP Lebowski. I'm not sure whose team he's on. That would probably be... Oh, he's on Team 5-0. You would probably know which team's doing what a bit better than the rest of us.
Yeah, probably.
And the other big thing is that they're going to fix the ability... Or not fix the ability. It already had the ability. But they're going to make the stacking of things... Like, if there's tons of Celestials right on top of one another, you mouse over it. The way those symbols are displayed are going to be a lot more cleaner and friendly. There's going to be some color coding. There's going to be some sorting. It's going to be much more easy to see and interact with, which is quite nice. And the other big thing for me is the bookmark or the shortcut for making a bookmark. We've actually got one now. So if you're, like, moving or warping, and you want to make a safe spot, you just do this hotkey, and it automatically comes up. That's going to be making safe spots quite a bit easier and more friendly for people. And the other big thing is that the forums are getting a bit of a redo. Probably the look and feel is going to remain the same, but it looks like they're going to have a few new menus. It's going to be more optimized for mobile. And there are going to be a couple bugs fixed. Eventually, there's going to be a bit more of a substantial rework to the forums coming down the pipe. But, just thought it worth mentioning, because it's always nice for the forums to get a little love.
Especially if you're one of those people that like to just sit on their mobile at work and read.
Yeah, absolutely. Alright guys, that's it. Head to declarationsofwar.com, participate in the show poll, leave a comment, throw us a donation, we would appreciate it. You can reach Noir via our public channel, CafeNoir. Apply to join us on the forums at noirmercs.com. Good hunting, listeners. Wow, look around at the sight and the sound. Did we take you by surprise that you can't?